Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and are always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to your What to Read Next podcast. Today's bookish guest is Andrea from the Shelf Love podcast. Hi, Andrea.
Hi.
So happy to have you here. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you so much for having me, Laura. In the context of the romance reading community, I'm a podcaster who's interested in examining how romance novels discuss relationships and identity, and I'm also just very interested in picking apart what romance the genre is about. Mm-hmm. But to zoom out to who I am in the wider world, I'm an Alice's Het white millennial woman who lives just outside of Boston, and I work in communications, and I take a lot of satisfaction from my day job. And I live with my husband, our almost five-year-old daughter, and our two cats, Maggie and Jake.
I love it. So let's talk about your podcast. What is for just get started?
So the elevator pitch for Shelf Love is that we do thought-provoking, critical discussions about romance novels, and it has an intersectional feminist lens. And the slightly longer version of that is that on every episode, I'm joined by a guest, and we use a romance novel worth reading as the text to discuss themes. So some examples of this are two episodes that I'm thinking of in particular. Katrina Jackson, who's an erotic romance author and history professor, came on to talk about history while discussing An Unconditional Freedom by Alyssa Cole. Mm. And yeah, I know, right? Like being guided through that conversation with a history professor was like breathtaking. I wish I could take classes with her because It was amazing. And then Tiff Marcello, who is another romance author, we talked about outcasts and community while discussing Thirsty by Mia Hopkins. Mm-hmm. And just in case you think I only have romance authors on, an episode that hasn't come out yet, I have my friend Becky, who is not a romance reader, come on, and we read A Week to Be Wicked by Tessa Dare. Have you read that?
No, it's on my TBR. I've been going through Tessa Dare's backlist, like, on and off for the past year, and that's one of my TBR.
Okay, yeah, I apparently had forgotten I had read it. I had read it years ago, and I read it again, and I loved it even more, maybe, the second time. And so this is a novel that I think a lot of romance readers just like love to pieces. And so I figured I was going to knock it out of the park recommending it to my friend Becky. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot to unpack with her preconceptions and misconceptions about the romance genre. And I think her particular reading habits. And so basically it became a discussion kind of like, okay, like what about this did you not like? And how can we separate that from you thinking you just don't like romance?
Mm.
You know, so I think it's really important for me to have diverse viewpoints on the show. And while the vast majority of my guests are probably considered romance insiders, like reviewers, critics, academics, and lots of romance authors, I also try to cover lots of different subgenres, and I'm mostly digging into topics that I don't really know anything about, but my guests know a lot about. Like they kind of like have these deep pockets of knowledge, and I love learning everything from my guests. I have learned so many things and really feel like if nobody else has taken anything from my podcast, I at least have learned so much and really like broadened, I think, my perspective on the genre in the world.
Yeah, I absolutely love your podcast because it just dives into, you think about the text, you think about romance, and then you think about the bigger picture and the different topics that comes about. And I find it so fascinating that it broadens your mind. It just thinks about, you don't think of just a romance you're in, just happily you're after. There's actually a thought process. And there's themes and there's misconceptions and there's different areas that you dive into in conversation, and you just opens up the thought process about romance.
Yeah. And I mean, and to be honest, like the kind of person I am, like I feel like sometimes my guests like reel me back into talking about the book because I'm like, what's the meaning of life? And they're like, so anyways, this book, and I'm like, right. We're talking about this book. But I think that really that you can have, you know, discussions about romance novels. I mean, you can take it whatever direction you want it to go in. The texts, I think, are so rich. There's just so many things you can talk about.
So how do you select the books?
So a lot of the episodes are my guests choose a romance worth reading. So, So usually like I choose a guest and then I'm like, what book do you want to read? And, I'm trying to think like one time I had somebody chose a book that somebody else had already chosen. So like, I was like, can you pick another? But I mean, I don't think I've ever had a guest suggest a book where I'm like, no, I don't want to read that. I think sometimes when the books the guests choose, I'm like, all right, sure, I'll read that. And I don't think much of the description. And then I start reading it and I'm like, oh my gosh, I love this. I never would have picked this up, but I love it so much. And I'm so glad that somebody else told me to read this.
So what have been some of those discoveries, like those books that you hidden gems that you realize you're like, I did not pick this book up, but I realize it's amazing, or just like a gift?
So a recent one that I've always loved post-apocalyptic fiction. Yeah. And I probably just would never have like found this book, but I read a prison planet romance called Guardian by Emmy Chandler. I read that with Megan Erickson, and it's bonkers but like surprisingly deep. I think I probably would have heard Prison Planet and be like, no thanks. That's not for me. But it's amazing. there's so many other ones. Now I'm literally scrolling through my episodes trying to remember. A Court of Thorns and Roses, which this was like a huge book. But like it's kind of in the YA realm, and it's like it's not like I don't read YA ever. I just like don't gravitate towards it. Like I'm just kind of like not in that world. But yeah. Penny Reed, I read that with Penny Reed, and I devoured like this 600 page book like in a day, and then immediately started the second one, and I loved it so much. And I probably, if I saw it on a bookshelf, I would have been like, I'm not in the mood for like, you know, an epic fantasy tale, I guess.
Yeah, that's an epic fantasy tale. It's romance. I think I wouldn't consider, even though it's marketed as a YA, I would consider it as a new adult or just a more adult, you know, romance. Because there's like some theme that you probably won't see in a YA romance.
It's true.
I like the first book was fine, but the second book was epic. So it's like it built upon each other, and it just felt like the whole process. You were going through this journey for a fair, you know, like having her just be picked up in a fair world and then just being into this whole world that just happens. So
I know it. One thing I'm like trying to figure out how to say this without spoiling it, but this book does something really interesting with, I think it's fair to call it a love triangle.
Oh yeah.
It does something really interesting there that I think is a bit revolutionary, not revolutionary. It's a risky thing to do, I think, with relationships in books like this. And I just really admire Sarah J. Maas for what she did and how she pulled it off in that series.
And she did pull it off. it was epic. That was like the whole journey and those relationships. It was just like, you were rooting for one, and you were rooting for another one, you were rooting for different things, and you just like, she pulled off, she took a rest and she pulled it off.
Yeah. Mad props.
Yeah, that's awesome. So when did you start reading romance?
Let's see. So I started reading romance probably like as a teenager, like 12 or 13. I spent a lot of time in my town's library, and I exhausted pretty much all of the books in the children's library and made my way up to the adult library, and found romance is not a genre that was like read in my house. Like, I think my family, I guess, were readers, but it's not like romance novels were laying around. I kind of had to find them at the library, and I found them, and like, I kind of had to hide them, you know, it's like the classic story. But, so I started reading them. I mean, I wouldn't even say fairly young, because I think a good number of romance readers start that young. But I think what I loved about romance when I first started reading it at that age is that it was like being transported into like different places and times, but also seeing the world through different eyes. And I grew up in this like small bedroom community in the suburbs outside of New York City. And, you know, it's like a very limited view of the world and, you know, like living in a family and, you know, only, you know, like you only see so much. And I just loved kind of that ability to go into other people's different lives. And like, you could say that's just what fiction does generally, but I think what the romance genre does so well is that it tends to do that in a really joyful, exuberant way. And so much of other literature is really bleak, and I don't like bleakness. Like, life is bleak enough.
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, when I first started reading romance as a young person, I had no experience with romance or sex. And I think I was just really curious about those things. And so, you know, I think that was maybe the primary motivator early on. And then as I got older, I think I started gravitating to books where there were like really strong women who became role models for me. And they found partners who were desperately in love with them and respected them, and they saw them for the amazingness that they were. And I think that like validation for me, like I love that validation that you see in romance novels. It's not like, I hate romance novels where, or relationships in general, where it's just these like two bland people, but like somehow they're best and everybody wants both of them, and then they end up together. And I'm like, gross. I want people who are like individuals and they recognize the unique amazingness of the other person. And just like, it's a unique relationship. And they recognize and validate each other. And like, I'm like, okay, that's the kind of relationship I want. And, you know, so now as someone, I've been married for over 8 years, I think I also now appreciate re-experiencing the thrill of courtship, you know, in addition to all of those things. So I think it's kind of like served me in different ways throughout like the 20 plus years I've been reading romance.
I love it. I love your romance journey. I think there's something to be said about it. I've been a late bloomer when it comes to romance, but I think when you think about it, romance can give you role models. They can give you, show you what a healthy relationship looks like. It can show you what an unhealthy relationship looks like. It can show you different lessons. And so it's something, and the genre is so diverse that it just allows you to just explore different worlds and transport you to different experiences. And so it's a great genre to try into.
Yeah, totally.
So what is your favorite romance trope?
My favorite romance trope, oh gosh. So I kind of joke on Twitter a lot about pining blacksmiths being my favorite trope, which is obviously like way too specific. But I do love pining. And I think that, okay, so I love pining. I love fake relationships.
Okay.
And I love forced proximity.
Okay.
And I think that those three things are interrelated. Like, fake relationships are basically a type of forced proximity.
Yep.
And I think pining sometimes works in like fake relationships really well, where like they're together for specific reasons and they're not supposed to actually be in a real relationship, but you know, they're pining for each other. So I love that. And so My book recommendations for these, I am a recent Goodreads joiner.
Okay.
So the sad thing is like I have read so many romances, and occasionally like I'll come across one of them on Goodreads and I'm like, woohoo, I can like add this one as like I've read it, you know. Yeah. But there are so many romances that fantastic romances that I've read and like forgotten the titles of, because I'm not the kind of person who has like one of those photographic memories for titles.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so a lot of these tend to be like recent reads just because they're the ones I can remember. But one old one is The Other Guy's Bride by Connie Brockaway, for Pining. And it takes place in Egypt. It's a historical, and I'm sure if I reread this, I'd probably find a whole bunch of problematic things going on there.
Yeah.
But they're like on this journey, kind of like through the desert. There's an adventure, and she's pretending to be engaged to this guy way out in the desert, and he's gonna get her out there. And the whole time he's pining after her, and she kind of starts pining after him, but he thinks that she's engaged to somebody else, and you know, it's a whole thing. I remember it being so good, and I want to reread it now. And then for Fake Relationship, so the rare, let's say, contemporary fake relationship, marriage of convenience, a recent one I read is White Whiskey Bargain by Jodi Slaughter.
Ooh, okay.
Have you read that one yet?
No, I have not. And I love fake relationship, marriage and convenience. I'm like, why I haven't read this book? So tell me all about it.
It's so good. It's fairly new. Like I want to say it came out in the last year. And they're bootleggers in Appalachia. And they're like two sort of like warring families competing families, and they're kind of enemies, but then they join together to band together against a common foe. So they join the families by marrying each other, like the two main characters. And it's so good. I did an episode on this with Cherish Reed. And I think it was maybe one of those ones where I was like, thank you for moving this to the top of my like books I'm actually going to read pile, because I have to, you know, I have to read it.
Yeah.
It was so good. And then I'll just mention these ones real quick, but A Scandalous Deal by Joanna Shoup. Yep. Have you read that one?
Yes, I have.
It's so good. That's a historical, and it's a marriage of convenience. And I think one really notable thing about this story is that the hero is deaf and is like an inventor who's trying to invent this machine that is like an early hearing device, mm-hmm. I think. Hearing aid. And it's it's a beautiful story about kind of like he's scared of a lot of things, you know. That sounds terrible, but he's kind of scared of like forming a close connection with somebody, and it's like they have to learn how to communicate with each other in an effective way, and it's really beautiful. And then The Firebrand by Susan Wiggs. I used to read a lot of Susan Wiggs because the library had them, and she has a lot of stories that I really love. This one is kind of like a Beauty and the Beast-ish retelling around the Great Chicago Fire of 1886. I don't know. If I remember that date correctly, I deserve a cookie or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then my last one for Forced Proximity is A Duke by Default by Alyssa Cole. And I mean, first of all, this book is amazing. It's a contemporary, but also I love how they are in close proximity the entire time, and it just creates so many amazing situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to say I love Alyssa Cole. Pretty much whatever she writes, it's like it's an Audible, and it's like she can write the phone book, and I'm still gonna give her 5 stars.
Yes, it's so true.
Okay, so great. So do you read romance? Do you read, do you have a particular subgenre that you like the most?
You know, it's funny because I've listed a lot of historical romances that I enjoyed. And I think probably I used to read a lot more historical than I read now, because I feel like I mostly read contemporary now. Mm-hmm. So I think I like contemporary. I don't know. I'm such a like, I read so many different subgenres. Like I'm really not picky or like, there's really no subgenre that I'm like, I don't want to read that. So, but I guess if I had to choose contemporary.
All right. So what have been some of your favorite contemporary books of this year? You read this year.
Favorite contemporary books this year. So Kennedy Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, The Kingmaker, and that's a duology. The second one is, what is it?
Rule something?
The Kingmaker and King, oh God, who knows? Whatever. The Kingmaker duology. Let's call it that. The next one is Queen Move. And that one I'm really looking forward to. That comes out at the end of May is her next one, and it's kind of part of the same universe. But I read The Kingmaker recently, loved it. I also recently read Blockshot by Kennedy Ryan, which I really loved. You know, I really enjoy LJ Shen.
Okay.
Have you read any of her stuff?
I did. I read when she came out, right after she came out with Vicious and Rickus and all this stuff. And so it was a time to write a lot of angsty bully romance, and it was fine, but it's something that I cannot, right now at this stage in my life, I probably cannot fathom reading.
So, I think maybe one thing I would say I don't totally gravitate towards is like super angsty romance, but LJ Shen does it for me. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just love it. But one that she wrote very recently, In the Unlikely Event, is such it's sort of like Christmas related, but it's not at all Christmas. Like it's not actually a holiday novel, but it sort of like was positioned like it was, which was confusing to me at first, but it is such an inventive novel. And in her author's note, she wrote something about like how she just told herself she was going to write this wild off the wall book. Mm-hmm. And there are chapters from a napkin, a cow, Deadpool. It is such an interesting way of telling the story. And I have to tell you, I'm not like super in love with the couple in that book, but just the storytelling is fascinating.
Okay, maybe I'll pick that one up. Just because I'm curious to see how she delivers the story and like the way it's inventive. That would be an interesting book to pick up.
Yeah, and Dirty Headlines is another one she wrote that I probably read in the last year. And that one is, I think, much more, it's like, I feel like it's like a nice kind of middle ground between Vicious and the All Saints High. Is that what it was called? That
series? Yeah. Okay.
Because that series can be super intense. And I enjoyed that series. But I think Dirty Headlines is, it kind of backs away from the, like Vicious is kind of a sociopath as a character. So it backs away from that a little bit. Like the male main character is a little bit more human.
Okay. So it's a little less alpha jerk and more just regular, you know, regular alpha, you know.
Yeah, he's like pretty enlightened. Like I feel like the alpha thing is kind of a front, but then like in the background he's like spending time with the heroine's father who is sick and like, you know, doing nice things for him. Like so he's kind of like a softy underneath.
Aw, that's cute. Okay, I'll pick it up. So what are some of your most anticipated new releases for 2020?
So I will be honest, I'm not super, I do have some, but I'm not like the kind of person who, I don't read ARCs and I'm not super tuned in to like what's coming up with the, like, but you know, I hear things, I'm in the know, sort of, I'm on Twitter, but I'm looking forward to Something to Talk About by Meryl Wilsner. That looks really interesting. It's, I think it's like Hollywoodish or celebrity. Yeah.
I think it's an assistant and a Hollywood director or a Hollywood person or producer or something.
So. Yes. And I think there's a little bit of like an age difference. Like the producer is older and her assistant is a bit younger, but that, I mean, like the cover is beautiful. I've heard so many fantastic things about this book. The premise is really interesting. I think it's a fake relationship to real relationship, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so. It looks good, you know.
Yeah. And then I'm also looking forward to The Rakess by Scarlett Peckham.
So good. Okay, you're going to love it. It's so good.
Oh, good. Okay, I've enjoyed a few of her other books, and there's like more books of hers that I want to read that are out now. So I'm like, I'm definitely looking forward to that. And then I already mentioned Queen Move by Kennedy Ryan, which I just think Kennedy Ryan can like do no wrong. And she's the things that she writes about, like, it's funny because Penny Reed was talking about Kennedy Ryan when I talked to Penny Reed, and she's like, one of the things she said is that they're friends, and she's like, Kennedy just is like, I'm gonna write about this. And Penny's like, I don't know, should you? Okay, sure. And then Kennedy does it and it's amazing. And she's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you pulled that off. Like, that's amazing. Like, I just didn't think anybody could pull that off. Mm-hmm. And so she just, I mean, Kennedy Ryan just like does these things that if you read it in a description, you'd be like, no, that is not going to work for me. Mm-hmm. And then you read it and you're like, okay, it works for me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I felt about Kennedy Ryan's, right? It's like she dares to take, you know, to do things that are outside of your comfort zone or things that you're just like, you're really, your real life situations. And mm-hmm. she writes them beautifully in a way that just feels compelled to keep reading the story.
Right. Cause I mean, like, real life is complex and, you know, I don't like reading about perfect people. Mm-hmm. Their perfect people are really boring. You know, this reminds me, so I was talking about my friend Becky, who's not a romance reader, mm-hmm. and we're talking about A Week to Be Wicked, and she's like, I don't know, I don't understand why they did this, like, they would have gotten to Edinburgh so much faster if they just did do-do-do, and I'm like, Becky, it wouldn't be a story, it, like, could you imagine how boring it would be if they just, like, sat in a carriage for 3 days together? Come on. So, I mean, I think that I'm totally willing to let fictional characters do things that maybe choices I wouldn't make in my own life for the sake of drama. And it's also not like I'm like, okay, well, they're terrible people, but I enjoyed reading about it. Like, I'm like, they're complex people and I enjoyed reading about it. I still like them.
Yeah. Yeah. Aww. So which two books have you read in the past few months you recommend?
So I am just finishing up Wonder by Christina C. Jones. Mm. And it's sort of like Alice in Wonderland in a post-apocalyptic, I think it's like San Francisco. Oh. It's like 100-ish years after some sort of natural disaster, kind of like, and political unrest and all this stuff. And some people might be like, why in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic would you gravitate towards that?
Yeah, I was thinking about the same thing, but okay, keep going.
I think I actually really, and this is something I was talking about with Megan Erickson when we were talking about the Prison Planet romance, and she made a really good point about like post-apocalyptic literature in general being hopeful, because in a lot of ways it's like, yeah, everything's a real big mess, but these people come through anyways, and things are an even bigger mess than they are in the real world. Mm-hmm. And I think in a lot of ways it shows like, let's say maybe an exaggerated view of the bad things in the world, but then the characters usually change things like in a really drastically wonderful way. You know, so I feel like it, they are really hopeful in a weird way. And I just think Christina C. Jones, I don't know what she hasn't written or couldn't write. I mean, she's another one of those writers who just like, what has she not tackled? Mm. And I think there's a lot of social commentary in this book. It's really interesting. So I've been like posting some quotes on Instagram because I just, some of the sentences I'm just like, oh my, oh, okay. And like, and I'll sit there and like kind of think about it for a second. Like, I think there's a lot of social commentary in it as well, which is really very applicable, I think, to a lot of stuff going on in the world today.
I can imagine that's so applicable with what we're experiencing right now. So that sounds
And one other one I read recently was Any Old Diamonds by KJ Charles.
Okay.
And I think it was sort of a, my memory of it is it was like a delightful romp. And now I'm like, what was it, a romp? I don't know. But it's kind of like a British, it's a historical, and it's a male, and there's sort of like a thief and a guy who's kind of on the straight and narrow. And, you know, the guy on the straight and the narrow gets the other guy to be a little more good, and the other guy gets the good guy to be a little more bad. And there's like a diamond heist in the mix. I think heists are fascinating anyways, but, where I was going earlier was it's sort of like a country manor, caper going on. It's really fun. And I think that one really interesting thing about that book, Any Old Diamonds, is that the happily ever after is really beautiful. And I think one of the things KJ Charles does is, you know, challenge the idea that, you know, to be a gay man in, you know, 1800s England, like that there is no future for that relationship, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's exciting. Okay, I'm adding that to my TBR. So what books are your TBR?
So my TBR is basically gonna fall on me and smother me one day. Because, you know, I'm constantly being like, oh, I want to read that, because I hear about all these amazing books, and there's unfortunately just like no time in the day, what with, you know, editing a podcast and like working a job and parenting, all that, grocery shopping. But so this is a very long list, but I have narrowed down what I'm actually going to read next to the following.
Okay.
The Worst Best Man by Mia Sosa.
Okay.
I'm so excited about it. I know Keeney Allen is saying that this is, you know, definitely going to be on every like best of 2020 list of romance novels.
It really is. It's like, so it's own voices, it's diverse. There's just one bed, which is, I love. It's lovers. There's pranks. It's just, it's wonderful.
What doesn't it have? So, Tempest by Beverly Jenkins, which is obviously nowhere near new, but it's going to be new to me.
Yeah.
And Well Met by Jen DeLuca.
Okay. I like it.
Which I got it for my mother-in-law for Christmas, and she loved it and returned it to me so that I could read it. She returned it to me. I literally gave it to her as a present, and she's like, you should read it. I'm like, I can buy another copy. She's like, here, take it.
Regifting.
Yes. And finally, A Cowboy to Remember by Rebecca Weatherspoon.
I love it. Yeah, I heard about that one. I heard mixed feelings about it, but it has amnesia, and it's just diverse. So I figured I want to give it a try.
I don't think enough books these days have amnesia plots. So.
Yeah, you gotta love that. So I love your TBR. So, Andrea, tell us where we can find you online.
Okay, so the usual places, at Shelf Love Pod on Twitter, Shelf Love Podcast on Instagram, or shelflovepodcast.com. And if you'd like to listen to Shelf Love, I mean, you are listening to this podcast, so you can search in whatever podcast app you are in for Shelf Love. Two words.
And you're for being the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a delight.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share it with friends and share a review on iTunes. This is the best way to support the show. Once you join the Romance Loving community, make new friends, and get book recommendations, join our Patreon Romance Book Club. For $5 a month, you'll be part of a virtual book club, an Instagram chat, and get monthly book recommendations. Please note I'll be donating 10% of the profit to a COVID-19 relief fund each month. To sign up, just join the link in the show notes. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in a few days with a brand new episode. Have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.